The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
The Nicole Sandler Show. Questioning authority daily. And that could be the very reason why YouTube is upset. Hey, YouTube. The music bed you hear beneath my voice is from a broadcast sound library that I pay for and have the receipts. So I've got your copyright violation right here. And now, here's Nicole.
Oh, nothing like some technical difficulties on a Tuesday. And I don't know what happened. I actually had everything set up early. I was prepared early. I had the streams going on both YouTube and Facebook, and actually we're going to start on Periscope too. I'm going to see if I can get that started. Everything is FUBAR today, so yeah, we'll see. It may be working, it may not. Hopefully you found us. I've got to find the right YouTube video, screen to watch, and so I can participate in the chat, which I try to do during the show. It's just one of those days. Good thing we have a new Randy Rainbow video to get us started. So I'm going to actually try to play this for you while I try to figure out the YouTube stuff. So bear with me one second. All right, I have it. All right, with no further ado, and to give me a few minutes to try to get my shit together here, brand new Randy Rainbow. Take it away, Randy.
We are back, Mr. President. I want to thank you for respecting recommended CDC guidelines and wearing a mask. Oh, that's just your face. Let's discuss the unfortunate matter at hand, the global crisis that is devastating countless American lives, wreaking economic havoc, the reason that we have all been forced to take shelter in our homes. Obamagate. What is that?
It was the greatest political crime in the history of our country.
Some of your harshest critics say that these attacks on the former president and your recent Twitter tantrums are meant to distract from your failed coronavirus response.
We're of the assumption that by the end of the year, we're going to have a vaccine.
Ooh, could you hold off on that just a little longer? It's going to take me a while to lose all the quarantine weight.
Look, the less successful we are in opening, the better they are probably, maybe, for an election. But I'm letting people know, in many cases, they're doing it just for...
A global pandemic. Sounds like some fictional Steven Soderbergh bullshit from 2011, right? Believe it or not, it's a real thing. People are suffering. Millions are out of work. The economy has evaporated. And worst of all, I haven't had a haircut in more than 2 months. So how does an unprepared reality TV host pretending to be the president deal with such an unprecedented crisis? I can tell you in one word.
This was all Obama.
Distraction. Distraction.
This was all Biden.
Distraction.
Distraction. Distraction.
And we caught them.
Distraction. La 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 la. La 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 la. How he tries to occupy your mind. To perplex you. He deflects to any shiny object he can find.
They wanted Hillary Clinton to win.
So many people fighting for their lives or scared to lose their jobs and stuck inside their houses. Thousands of people dying on your watch. And who is it you're thinking of?
Obama?
Obama! Obama!
That's the enemy of the people.
Distraction! Obama!
It is a disgrace.
Destruction!
We've done more testing than all of the countries in the world.
Anyone who wants can get a test, he shouts. A proper test, a perfect test. Where the hell are all these perfect tests, he touts. There's only one thing on his freaking mind.
Sleepy Joe Biden.
Election! Election!
I'm getting really good poll numbers.
Destruction!
Deception! Deception!
Over 10 million tests.
Inaction.
They've never gotten over losing to me.
We hope that you might lead us with some dignity and tact. We thought you'd somehow grow from this, but girl, you're petty. Confusion, digression, delusion, obsession.
Make America great again, right?
Recession. Election. Inaction. Infection.
Nancy Pelosi's a disaster.
Distraction.
Obamagate.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
He tries his best to baffle as he stupefies and stalls. How long till he just starts posting pictures of his balls?
Boom.
Disgusting.
Everybody disagreed when I did that.
Disgusting.
Look, there were a number of questions raised by the actions of the Obama administration.
Destruction.
This was all Obama.
So many people fight for their lives, but it's right under the shots. Some fight for their houses, and thousands of people die. Shut your mouth now, do it in our face, girl.
It is a disgrace what's happened.
Destruction!
Obamagate. I'm taking the two.
Oh my goodness, I'm here. I'm really here. Oh my God. What a disaster in the making. Okay, well, hopefully... we're together. I think we're now on YouTube, on the new channel, on the new video. What a mess that was. Well, we'll have to play this video again tomorrow because I screwed everything up. But I think we're live. I think we're live on YouTube. I think we're live on Facebook. And I think we're even on Periscope. Go figure. I don't know. All right. I know you missed most of it. I'm so sorry, Patricia, in the YouTube chat room. I honestly do not know what happened. I had everything set up and it was running perfectly. And then, of course, I did other things. And when I came back 5 minutes before the show was going to start, I had no video going to any of my outputs. So we will, I promise. I will post that video on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. I play it again for you now, but I've got to air this show on the Progressive Voices Network at 5 o'clock, and already I'm 10 minutes late because it's one of those days. Yes, welcome to Murphy's Place. Murphy's Place, where anything that can go wrong will go wrong. All right, I'll tell you what, now that we're up and running, let me try to get my shit together, and we'll do... What's news? Before I start what's news, let me tell you, I guess I should save these for Laffy and Amy. All right. I'm going to play the recorded what's news just because I'm so disjointed today. It's just one of those days, you know? So we'll do that. Then we'll get Laffy on the line and we'll talk. We'll do all that. So, here we go. Take it away, Nicole.
The news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As the nation is reeling from the coronavirus crisis, with a rising death toll that has already passed 90,000 and the number of reported cases north of 1.5 million, and the administration just fired the fourth inspector general in just 6 weeks. Another sign of Trump's efforts to do away with any oversight, he once again floated a giant distraction balloon to change the media narrative.
And you'd be surprised at how many people are taking it, especially the frontline workers, before you catch it. The frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine?
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine.
When?
Right now, yeah. Yeah, when... A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it.
Yes, the man occupying the Oval Office announced to the world on Monday that, against the advice of his government's experts, he is ingesting hydroxychloroquine.
Can you explain, sir, though, why you started taking it? Have you been exposed?
Yeah, because no, not at all. I just said that I've had so many letters from people. Like the one I told you about, I got it last week. I'll give you, would you like a copy of it? I'd love to give you, if you ask Molly, she'll give you a copy of it. But this is a doctor, he doesn't want anything. I don't know him, never heard of him. But he treats people that we're talking about. And he said out of hundreds of people that he's treated, he hasn't lost one. And he just wanted me to know about it. That's all. He wasn't saying, gee, could I have dinner with you, Mr. President? I'd like to come to the White House. But I've received many such letters. I've received a lot of positive letters. And it seems to have an impact, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but if it doesn't, you're not going to get sick or die. This is a pill that's been used for a long time, for 30, 40 years on the malaria and on lupus too, and even on arthritis, I guess, from what I understand. So it's been heavily tested in terms of I was just waiting to see your eyes light up when I said this, but, you know, when I announced this. But, yeah, I've taken it for about a week and a half now, and I'm still here.
But Donald J. Trump is a pathological liar, so who knows if that's true? The official White House doctor released a letter saying the two of them discussed the risk, but he never explicitly says he prescribed it or that Trump is taking it. On the Fox propaganda channel, Neil Cavuto reacted with the type of horror that statement should invoke.
I want to stress again, they died. If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment to ward off the virus, or in a worst case scenario, you are dealing with the virus, and you are in this vulnerable population, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
And the medical community piled on as well. The FDA has warned against the use of hydroxychloroquine to treat the coronavirus, saying it should only be used in hospitals or clinical trials because it can kill or cause serious side effects. But Trump accomplished what he probably set out to do: distract the media, and thus the country, from the real story, which is the fact that 91,000 Americans have already died from the U.S.'s botched response to the pandemic. Oh, and this: on Monday night, Trump threatened to permanently end funding to the World Health Organization in a letter criticizing their coronavirus response. True to form, Trump tweeted the letter threatening the end of funding if the group does not, quote, commit to major substantive improvements within the next 30 days. Trump, who has repeatedly accused the World Health Organization of allowing China to initially cover up the novel coronavirus outbreak, said the UN body must actually demonstrate independence from China. Chinese officials on Tuesday said that Trump was attempting to shift blame for his administration's, quote, incompetent response to the pandemic. But that's not all. Let's get back to that story about the firing of the State Department's Inspector General. The Washington Post reporting that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo advised Donald Trump to fire Inspector General Steve Linnick because he was, quote, not performing a function that was additive for the State Department? All right. Well, typically, Trump claimed no knowledge of Linnick, but said he fired him at Pompeo's request anyway, and that anyone appointed by former President Barack Obama should be fired regardless.
Explain, sir, why you decided to fire the Inspector General at the State Department?
Yeah, I don't know him at all. I never even heard of him, but I was asked to by the State Department, by Mike. I offered most of my people, almost all of them. I said, you know, these are Obama appointees, and if you'd like to let him go, I think you should let him go, but that's up to you. He's an Obama employee. I understand he had a lot of problems with the DOD. There was an investigation on him, on the Inspector General. I don't know anything about it. So I don't know him. Never heard of him, but they asked me to terminate him. I have the absolute right as president to terminate. I said, who appointed him? And they said, President Obama. I said, look, I'll terminate him. I don't know what's going on other than that, but you'd have to ask Mike Pompeo.
And then, when questioned about the allegations that Pompeo was using State Department staff for personal errands, including walking his dog, picking up dry cleaning, and making dinner reservations for he and his wife, who, by the way, travels the world with him at taxpayer expense, Trump gave us this bit of brilliance.
Now I have you telling me about dog walking, washing dishes. And you know what? I'd rather have him on the phone with some world leader than have him wash dishes because maybe his wife isn't there or his kids are there. You know, what are you telling me? It's terrible. It's so stupid. You know how stupid that sounds to the world? Unbelievable.
Not as stupid as you. And you wonder why Trump's support from women is cratering. But there's another investigation Linnick was working on that was likely also a reason for his firing. Linnick was also investigating U.S. military sales to Saudi Arabia. Congressional Democrats have launched an investigation into Linnick's removal. Pompeo said he didn't even know Linnick was investigating him. Yeah, right. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. For more information, visit NicoleSandler.com. Look around, and while you're there, please click on that donate button. Okay, you know what time it is now, don't you? If you only saw what I'm doing behind the scenes. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, it would help if I turn this one up.
Consider.
No. Oh, my goodness. I so screwed up everything. Okay, hold on. I got to mute this. Turn this up. This is just Screw Up Tuesday on the Nicole Sandler Show.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Carla on the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. So every Tuesday, we get together with my friend, Gotta Laugh. And we, you know, we shoot the shit about the news, among other things. Oh, my God. But first, we got to get her on the line. So let's see if this works, because nothing else has today. Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
It's your new interactive.
Oh, my God.
Well, you've reached the Things Are Opening Up hotline.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. Press 1 if you think with restaurants opening up, you won't need reservations. It'll be first come, first infected.
Uh-oh. Why am I not getting my beep? All right. Aww. All right. My beep's not working. I don't know why. But beep.
I heard that about you.
Oh, my goodness. What the hell is going on
today?
Your
beep hasn't been working in years.
All right, I'm going to close this out. Oh, you know what? I bet I can beep. No, I can't beep from here. Oh, I didn't put my... Okay, well, I can try to beep from here. All right, go on. Go to 2.
Press 2 if you think with gyms opening up, now all those memberships can finally go unused again.
Ah, yay.
Yay.
Okay.
Press 3 if you think with baseball season starting up, Trump will be invited to throw out the first lie.
Can he throw up the first lie?
Yes, okay. He can. Have a nice day. Oh, okay. My God.
Now, I got to figure out.
A real adventure.
Yes. Is it the touch tones that are not working? Bear with me a second.
Oh, I can hear those. I could hear it.
It's the touch tones that aren't. I got to reload those. You know, here's what happened. I know, but you guys are so sick of hearing me talk about the studio, but I reconfigured everything this weekend so I can do all kinds of really cool things with video. So you'll see, well, Laffy, you don't have video because you won't put a camera on your computer, but we're going to bring Amy in with the video, I think. But allegedly, I can pull in video from the two main computers into the third computer, and it you know... In theory, it works.
Yeah. Well, that's all that counts,
yes.
Really. Come
yes,
on.
It is. All right. Yeah. So, oh, my goodness. There's so much going on, and I'm trying to think what the Twitters would be buzzing about today. You know, and I'm pissed off that I screwed up the Randy Rainbow video because
it
was distraction. This is, David and I were talking last night, that's all this hydroxychloroquine stuff is. Trump is trying to distract us from the real news. That's 91,000 people have died in this country from his horrible mismanagement of this pandemic.
Oh, I know. In fact, I have one tweet about sort of that. So we can go more into that
all
after.
Right.
It's my final tweet. But yeah, the video is one of my favorites that
it's
Randy Rainbow really
has done.
Really
good. It's real. So I will post it on the blog. Maybe I'll play it again tomorrow. I don't know. But yeah, or we'll stay on after the show and I'll play it again.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's so perfect because he's throwing everything he can out there and hopes something sticks because he is in deep shit himself. He is rattled. It's clear he's rattled because when he gets rattled, he gets more insane and more irrational and more deranged and more unhinged and more tweets come out. He starts upchucking tweets as, you know, like he just had bad pizza. So, he's really, he knows what deep shit he's in.
Yeah.
That's what it all boils down to. So he's got to, who does he blame? The black guy. He's got to go after Obama because going after Biden won't work. It hasn't worked for him. He hasn't come out with something that'll stick yet with Biden. Everything kind of has not quite, you know, taken. And so he's going after Obama instead.
Yeah.
Well, he's always gone after Obama, but now the latest is, you know, Obama's official portrait is ready, and there's usually, yep. It's been a White House tradition for decades that a first-term president hosts the ceremony in the East Room yep. for the unveiling of the official portrait of his immediate predecessor that will hang in the halls of the White House forever, but yep. Trump won't do it. And not that Obama would want to go. He's just so horrible on every front. Everything about him is reprehensible.
Everything. I've never, I mean, other than, you know, the worst historical dictators that you can think of and all the, you know, the murderers and horrible mm-hmm. people we've all known about over the years, he is the worst person alive. He's the epitome of just the evil villain, the kidnapper, the rapist, the everything, all in one person. And I wouldn't even want to call him a person. He's not a person.
No.
All in one sort of being or creature. Or mass.
Creature.
He's a mass.
He's a creature.
Yeah. He's a sick. Anyway, well, let's because we know Amy's going to try yes. to come on. I told her to use her phone to call you if she had any problems.
hopefully,
she said you guys worked it out.
We
really
did.
Well, but
we
know.
Tested. Everything was working. Or I'm telling you, I was like, I was good to go. Everything was working, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
it was 2:57. And,
oh God!
Oh my God! The video is not going to either of the inputs. Like, what happened? And so everything got all foobar.
But it's okay because we have audio, here. And that's all that matters.
We do have audio.
It's radio after all.
It is radio after all. All right, so shall we let loose the birdies?
Yes, the birdies!
Oh, God. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
There they are.
Welcome to my tweet.
Okay, so...
I could barely hear that, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I have fewer tweets today, so we can get Amy on
okay.
for more time.
And I'm hoping you can hear Amy. We tested it, and it seemed like you should be able to hear her, but all bets are off today. I don't guarantee
yeah.
anything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. here's something that broke today that's
yeah.
unrelated.
Yeah.
I did a wow on this one. Shocking revelation.
I think
Roe
I know what you... Yes!
Away.
Oh, my God!
Sorry?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to hold this for Amy. Why don't we hold this for Amy?
Oh,
because
okay.
This is
oh, is
right
that
up
what you were talking about that you were going to
no.
hold?
Yeah, that's one of them, definitely.
Okay,
oh, my
all right.
God.
So I'll skip
what
that
a story.
One.
Yes.
And we'll read the tweet later. And
yes.
That'll be a good intro to
yes.
what you want to say.
Yes.
Okay, this is one that I saw that you liked of my tweets, and so I'm going to I put it up because I know you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Griffin of MSNBC, he said Trump will not be unveiling Barack Obama's portrait, like you just said. And then Adam Rothman, a U.S. historian, said, I guess he wanted to frame Obama himself.
Ooh. Ooh, yes. Yeah, I did like that one. And yes, it was
yeah.
very true. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's getting more and more off the rails. Not that he was ever on the rails, but, you know, first of all, he's not taking hydroxychloroquine. But if he were, you know, one of the side effects is mental decay and delirium and hallucinations and all kinds of crazy behaviors. So would we know?
No, we wouldn't know. And I'm going to get into the hydroxy in a second.
Okay.
I just want you to know that Amy has asked me to tell you to send a new link, the one from this morning.
It doesn't work.
Is it?
All right.
Yeah.
I will send
yeah,
her one
so
right
you know.
Now. You got
I don't know
it.
What that means.
No,
but
we're good.
There.
I got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So about the hydroxychloroquine, I said it's one of his stupider lies. And if he's not lying, it's one of his stupider moves. But our buddy, twin mom Sue said
yep.
he's lying. He's a coward. He's just trying to promote its use and pump up its stock value.
Yes. And you know what? He pointedly denied that he owns the company, like anyone said that, but he didn't address the question of if he had stock in the company.
Yep.
And we hear
Bingo.
That he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes, he does.
Yeah.
And then on that same topic, Noah Schachtman of the Daily Beast said, this is how the Daily Beast is playing the hydroxychloroquine news. And he puts up a screen grab. FDA, this drug could kill you. Trump, I'm taking it.
Yes. Yes.
That's how stupid Trump is. Everyone's saying it can, you know, screw with your heart. It can screw with your mind. You can die from it. And he's like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
Because that's how stupid he is. I am so over all of this, Nicole.
I hear you.
So
You're not the only one. It is absurd. We're living in the age of absurdity where nothing, you know, I used to do, and you know this well, Laffy, opposite world. Never before has opposite world been more spot on than it is now. We're in opposite world. I was going to play it for you, but it looks like it's not here on my board. So,
And you know, you and I both, I mean, this is a coincidence because this was before I even knew you. Mm-hmm. And I had a little, when I was at the political carnival, I made up a little opposite world, I guess a meme, and it's a reflection, opposite world, then upside down, it's opposite world, you know, and you can see a reflection of it. And I used to use it in a lot of my, of my blog posts. For years I used it. And then when you said it on air, I was like, yes, because that's exactly, I mean, we're on the same wavelength,
yes.
Like Nicole.
Yes, yes.
Like, you're so groovy.
Yes.
You're so groovy. Anyway, here's another one.
Okay.
I'm in that mood today. My mind is all over the place today. So sorry.
You and me both.
Reuters posted this. The Trump administration slaps solar and wind operators with retroactive rent bills, handing them whopping bills at a time. The industry is struggling with the fallout of the coronavirus outbreak. Isn't that great? The move represents a multi-million-dollar hit to an industry that has already seen installation projects canceled or delayed by the global health crisis, which has cut investment and dimmed the demand outlook for power. It also clashes with broader government efforts in the United States to shield companies from the worst of the economic turmoil through federal loans, waived fees, tax breaks, and trimmed regulatory enforcement.
Okay.
That's so upsetting to me.
Everything is upsetting. It's all upsetting to me. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, like, we were getting cleaner air, you know, because of, with fewer cars and fewer industry, you know, less industry output and all that. And now, with that little bit of a respite, this comes along. Here, let's kill solar and wind while we're at it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just so depressing.
It is. And the thing is, the news about the environmental stuff is so much better. Just in this short 2 months that the planet has been sort of on pause, so much good was done for the planet, and we're going to fuck it all up again.
In fact, I posted a tweet today. I don't know if I can find it. About a huge decrease. Oh, I want to find it so badly. It's a 17%. Was it more than that? A huge decrease in pollution that will eventually come back, they say, because, you know, I can't find it, unfortunately. But it actually had it in numbers, and everybody was posting it because it was so impressive. Here's something that. This is sort of what we were talking about with investment in companies. Okay, so you know everyone's jumping on this ridiculous bandwagon about the vaccine. This vaccine that, quote, shows promise because it has eight perfectly healthy people.
It had eight instances of creating antibodies that would kill off the virus.
In eight perfectly healthy people. I mean, it means nothing. It's a tiny sliver, weensy glimmer, you know? It's the first baby step.
That's exactly.
Oh, yep. Here's a little Fox News alert. A lawyer for Michael Flynn just filed an emergency appeal to boot the judge from his case. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to post that one. Back to the vaccine. Huge conflict of interest. Trump's new coronavirus vaccine czar owns $10 million in stock options in the company developing the vaccine.
Yes, isn't that it? Moderna, I think it's called.
Yes, Moderna. Moncef Slaoui, former head of vax development at GlaxoSmithKline, would be chief scientist for Operation Warp Speed. Wow. Slaoui stepped down from his position on the board of directors at Moderna, the very company that's in that trial. Slaoui still holds more than $150,000 of stock options in Moderna. Those offerings were valued at more than $10 million on Monday before the company's stock shot up after it reported promising early results from its testing.
Right.
Shares have nearly tripled in values since the start of the year. Dr. Rick Bright, the former head of the vaccine development at the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, which provided Moderna with federal funding, has been less optimistic about the timeline. And then, oops, an update, an HHS spokesperson told NBC that Slawi, quote, has directed the divestiture of his equity holdings in Moderna, and that that sale should be effective today, meaning today, tomorrow, meaning today.
Right, yeah, of course. Right, after he was able to take his profits from the news.
Exactly.
By the way, the Dow is now down 275.66, in case anyone was wondering.
Say that again?
I said the Dow is now down 275.66, in case anyone was wondering.
Thank you. I was wondering, because it was all over the place today.
It wasn't.
It was down, then it was up, then it was down, then it was kind of hovering, and it was waiting for all the economic talk, you know, and the hearings and everything.
Yeah, but you know what? It was always in negative territory today. I'm looking at the chart, and it's all in red.
Except for NASDAQ. NASDAQ was up.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Dow. Okay.
Now, what's this? Trump is cutting an executive order cutting regulation.
And what regulation? What? He's cut them all already.
What is this? It's unnecessary to impede economic recovery. That's what. Oh, what? He's such a fuckhead. Anyway, one more, and then we can.
Okay.
Then we can stop this nonsense that I'm spouting. James Fallows. He said in the Washington Post, both Plumline and Sullyview underscore what Jay Rosen had laid out recently. The media is sleepwalking into the rerun, into another rerun of 2016, as if someone in 2006 said, "Oh, let's invade Iraq again." I mean, the media has just been lapping up Trump and reporting on what he says as if what he says is news instead of what he says is propaganda and gaslighting.
Yeah. Well, what else is new? This has been going on since day one. The double standard is I don't know what the word is, mind-blowing, that the way the media is, look, they cover him, you know, in a tough way, but they also don't question his actions. It normalizes everything he does.
Everything.
The fact that 24 women have accused him of sexual assault, why isn't that in the news every day?
Yeah, why is Tara Reid the only one in the news about
that? Good question.
It should be countered every time.
Every day.
Times 24.
That's right.
Yeah,
there's so many things they just no longer question about what he does, because there's so much of it that it would be a laundry list every day, and they just sort of let it go. He did another norm busting action, and they let it go. They just ignore it. The lies, the reprehensible behavior that he exhibits, the way he treats the media, everything, and it's just like normal now. It's not questioned.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And it drives me nuts. I keep the TV off most of the day now. I can't take it. I mean, at night, they concentrate on the things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Although they still don't talk about his assault accusations anymore.
Right, no, they don't.
But at least they cover the things that are left out during the day. But other than that, other than prime time, we don't get any news that we should be getting. We get news as if we get his lies as if that is, you know, it's again, both sides.
Right. But here, I don't know if you heard the show on Friday when I had Noel Kassler on. He's the guy who used to work. You need to hear the interview. Oh my God. I do. And it was pretty mind-blowing, and the thing is, you know what, he's on my show, he does Stuttering John's podcast, he became a comedian in order to tell the story, to give him a venue in which to explain what he witnessed when he worked for 6 years on The Celebrity Apprentice. Why has nobody in the corporate mainstream media interviewed this man? He worked on the show for 6 years. He was Ivanka Trump's person for 3 years. He knows all kinds of dirt, and yet, and he's willing to talk, and he's ignoring the NDA, and yet he hasn't been on MSNBC. He hasn't been interviewed by any, legitimate journalists. He hasn't been invited on Bill Maher's show. Not that Maher is anything these days. I can't even handle him anymore.
Oh, I know. Me neither.
But why hasn't anybody spoken to this guy? I don't know what they're afraid of.
I wish I knew.
They just don't
take them seriously, I guess.
I guess. All right. Let's get Amy on the line, shall we?
Yeah, let's hope we get Amy.
All right. Now, here's the deal. Amy, if you guys can't hear each other, then Amy, you're going to hang up and call in on the phone. Got it? Okay. Got it. All right. Let's go.
Amy Simon of She's History. Got a laugh out of the carnival and into radio or not.
Well, Nicole Sandler show, but...
Yes. And Nicole Sandler.
Hello, goddesses.
The Nicole Sandler Show.
I hear nothing, just so you know.
Oh, no. Okay, well, hold on.
The forces of Amy, Laffy, and Nicole to bring to you the Glibberal Goddesses.
All right, so that was the intro that played. Here's the tricky part. Will you hear Amy? So, Amy, say hi to Laffy.
Hi, Laffy.
I see you and I hear you.
Yay. All right.
You look adorable.
You got your hair in pigtails.
Yeah, it's really long, and you don't want to see me with a pair of scissors. I can tell you that right now.
I've noticed I need a haircut too. We all have quarantine hair. But the
Not
nice
me.
Thing
I
is,
I cut my own hair.
Really? Well, the nice
I've
thing
always
is,
cut my own hair.
I don't color my hair anymore. And Amy, I see that you're not either, and so it doesn't matter. Let it grow.
I've done my own hair for decades, so to me, it's nothing different.
Gotcha.
There's hardly anything different in my life because of the quarantine, other than, you know, not going out to public places that I would ordinarily go to. But no, I do my own hair and I make my own meals and whatever.
I hear you. And we've become more vegetarian, but that we'll talk about that another day. What I want to talk about is the story that I held Laffy back on this because this story broke today. There is a new documentary coming out. It's going to be on, I think, FX on the 22nd, so just in a few days. It's called AKA Jane Roe. Yes, it'll air on May 22nd.
Yep.
And it contains a shocking revelation. Laffy, you want to go?
I'll go. It says, shocking revelation. Roe of Roe v. Wade fame played the part of an anti-abortion crusader in exchange for money. It turns out that she says in her late in life turn as an anti-abortion spokesperson, it was all an act. I took their money and they took me out in front of the cameras and told me what to say. In its final 20 minutes, I only have two tweets on this. In its final 20 minutes, the documentary film AKA Jane Roe delivers quite the blow to conservatives who have weaponized the story of Jane Roe herself, real name Norma McCorvey, to argue that people with uteruses, or uteri as I like to say, should have to carry any and all pregnancies to term. This is my deathbed confession, she chuckles, sitting in a chair in her nursing home room on oxygen. Did the evangelicals use you as a trophy? Of course! I was the big fish. I took their money and they took me out in front of the cameras and told me what to say.
This is unbelievable. First of all, what is wrong with this woman? Really, she's going to sell out her people for, you know, some silver, a few coins of silver. I know it's a bad biblical reference there, I guess. But really? And so she died in 2017. Why are we just hearing about this now? Because they got a movie to promote?
I guess so. I guess that's usually the case when it comes to, and also, there's time for people to watch it now.
Yes. Well, we can watch it in 3 days. May 22nd on FX. It's called AKA Jane Roe. So, and apparently
she's sold out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess they have actors playing Jane Roe, if I read this correctly. And it's Stacey Dash. Am I reading this correctly?
Oh, you know what? I never got through the article. I was like going madhousing today. So you'll have
Did
to tell me
Stacey
more about
Dash?
It.
Yes.
I think she's a big anti,
she's a Trumper. She's a crazy right winger. That's why, I don't know. I'm going to have to find. Yeah, starring. Here it is. Okay. I got it wrong. She and John Voight were in a conservative film called Roe v. Wade that dramatized McCorvey's, quote, conversion. But that we now know that it was a fake conversion. She was acting and doing it for the money. Really? She's going to betray all women for the money?
Oh, my God. I can't believe this.
It's crazy, huh? I mean, and we've been watching Mrs. America also I think it's on FX.
Yes, I'm finally watching it.
And it is, it's really good. Phyllis Schlafly was evil. Evil.
Oh, yeah, awful.
So
terrible.
Yeah, and I think the new, I think it comes out, the new episode.
Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, right. So we got another one tomorrow. But this goes right in line with that, because it was not only the fight for the ERA, but Schlafly and her minions were all about, you know, anti-abortion rights. So, So, Amy, I wanted to ask you this. So we are here in this crazy time in history. And when I do watch TV, the nice thing I'm seeing is a lot of medical doctors on the television, because I choose to listen to the scientists when it comes to dealing with the COVID. I'll follow their advice more than the politicians, certainly, and other people who, you know, pretend they know what they're talking about. But one thing I'm noticing is a whole lot of lady doctors on the TV. And I was thinking, Amy, since you're the woman behind She's History at sheshistory.com, the most dangerous women then and now in America, who was the first female doctor?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that question.
It almost sounded natural, didn't it? Like it wasn't planned or anything.
I've been wanting to tell the story
For weeks.
A while. You know, there's so many stories. So her name was Elizabeth Blackwell, and she was born in the 1800s. She was actually born in England and came over to New York City with her family. She was one of 11, and she came over here when she was 11, actually. And her story is really, really interesting, because she wanted to be a doctor, and women were not considered to be doctors. She was called the female physician when she finally became a doctor. And the way she did was she applied to a bunch of schools. Everyone said no, nobody with ovaries allowed in. And she, you know, applied to Harvard and Yale. And then there was this little little university, which still is around today, Geneva College in upstate New York. And the school thought it was funny that a woman was applying. So they asked all the men students, male students, to vote and see if they would let this woman come in. And they thought it was a joke, so they voted her in. And that's how she ended up going to school there.
Funny. Oh,
you can't
funny.
Make this stuff up. You can't.
Well, the joke's on them.
Yeah, but seriously, she went through hell being alone, and they wouldn't let her speak. I mean, this was, women couldn't speak in public even then. So she really sacrificed a lot. She was terribly lonely, but eventually they came around. She graduated. And then, of course, like when Sandra Day O'Connor graduated from law school, she couldn't get a job in a law firm. Elizabeth Blackwell couldn't get a job either as a doctor.
At Ruth Bader Ginsburg as well, and she wasn't the first. She was the second. Well, she was the second female Supreme Court justice.
Right.
But when she went to Harvard, she was one of, I think, 8 women. And we just watched RBG again, because I watched it with Allison, my daughter. You know, didn't really know anything about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, so we watched it, and she was
a great documentary.
Oh, she was just so blown away by her. Yeah. But seeing her when she went to Harvard, and she was one of 8 women, and at this big party for all the entering freshmen, the dean of the law school said to the 8 women, why do you think that, you know, why should you have a spot that could have been filled by a man?
Jeanette Rankin was the first woman elected to Congress. She was from Montana in 1917, and they had to build a ladies' room for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could talk about firsts on and on. I mean, Oprah Winfrey, I remember watching her tell a story that when she was a newscaster and she knew her co-anchor was making twice as much as her, and then she went to talk to the manager, you know, to the boss of the station, and he said, well, he's got a family to support, and, you know, something really, really transformed that. That meeting apparently really informed her the rest of her career. But anyway, back to Elizabeth Blackwell.
Yes.
She ends up going to Europe trying to, you know, become a doctor, and she, you know, she tries to study here and there. She ends up in Paris at this, like, institution for a medical institution, and she ends up losing her eyesight in one eye, because she was taking care of a sick child, and she always wanted to be a surgeon, but she couldn't be a surgeon because now she only could see out of one eye. So she ends up coming back to New York, and she just started one of the first women's infirmary in New York City, and when the Civil War ended, she helped start the Sanitary Commission. So she went on to have a very distinguished career. She was the first woman in England to be on the medical registry. I mean, there's a lot of titles and barriers that she broke, and, you know, she did a lot for women. She was lecturing, and her audience were all Quaker women, and they all turned out to be her patients, and that led to her, you know, developing an infirmary. And, you know, she just went on and on and was obviously, you know, an amazing trailblazer. And I just love her.
And look, she paved the way for all these amazing women today. And you know,
also, she came from this family. She had two brothers, Henry, who married Lucy Stone. And Lucy mm-hmm. Stone was another. She was the first woman in America to be arrested for civil disobedience. She wouldn't pay her property taxes because a woman couldn't own property. Right. Like, she was just a million firsts for her. First woman to graduate from, you know, Oberlin and DeBate. And she started, you know, a major newspaper and on and on. And then her other brother, Samuel, married another woman, Antoinette Blackwell, who turned out to be a minister. And the sister was another doctor. I mean, the whole family, they were all abolitionists and reformers and just the coolest people. And Lucy Stone was like the first woman to not change her name when she got married. She married a real partner, like Bella Abzug did, you know, a real, uh-huh. real partner.
Cool.
Love them all.
You
Love
know,
all the ladies.
Funny story about women, female doctors. You know, my daughter, Allison, I adopted in 2000, and her first doctor was a wonderful woman doctor in Santa Monica. And, you know, through the years, just all of her doctors have been women. And then one day we were looking for a new primary care physician, and it's hard to get a primary care physician when you have the more inexpensive insurance because they limit the network. And so we're going through and I'm throwing out names, and I said, well, this one, I mean, looks okay. And she's like, but that's a man. I thought, I can't go to a male doctor. I'm like, no, you can't. She said, I've only been to female doctors. I didn't think I could go to a male doctor. It's like,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
You can. I've just always felt yeah. more comfortable taking you sure. to a female doctor. But she just, she was under the impression that she could only see a female doctor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look what I did to my kid.
You know, Nicole, yep. when Elizabeth Blackwell was 33 years old,
yeah.
she pulled a Nicole Sandler.
What'd she do?
She adopted a 7-year-old Aww. Orphan girl.
Aww.
And raised her.
Oh, yeah. Good for her.
Yes. And, you know, Gloria Steinem, when she had an abortion, and that was something that she's made very public, and it's in the show, it's in Mrs. America, but I knew this a long time ago, because when she came out with her last book, she finally revealed the name of the doctor who gave her an abortion, and he made her promise to never say his name, but huh. he died many years ago. And in the show, they show that he says to her, okay, I want you to promise me two things. Number one, you will never reveal my name. And number two, you will do whatever you want with your life.
Wow. Nice. You know, the trailblazers, if it weren't for these people, and again, watching Mrs. America, watching Gloria Steinem, watching even Betty Friedan, who, you know, it turns out they all hated, and she was kind of just a hard ass, you know, see Bella Abzug, and just realizing what those women went through so we could live our lives today the way we do, and look at the battles we're having to have. Look at the way we're having to fight for the right for birth control again, the right to maintain our right to have yeah. choice over our bodies. I mean, it's incredible what these idiots on the right are still doing to us in trying to control our lives. It's, you know, it's when you can step back and we're 50 years down the road from it, and we can say, oh my God, I remember when that happened. And yeah, things are a lot different now, but it seems like we're moving in a backwards direction, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, we've got no. you and Laffy to keep us, you know, you two really.
I'm still waiting for people to stop telling me to, men on Twitter, to stop telling me to relax if they disagree God. With me.
Well, it's like Trump when he said to, what's her name? It was a journalist, Weijia Zhang from CBS. And he tells her every time she, calm down, relax. So, fuck you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, my God. You know, I give those journalists much credit.
Oh, me too.
Biting Wait. Their tongues, because I know me. And if I were in that White House briefing room and he started in with shit like that, I would have told him to shove it up his ass. I would have been let out of there in handcuffs by the Secret Service, because I'm sorry, you don't talk to me like that. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Well, he
I would probably ask
President
him, what the hell
United
is
States.
Wrong with you? Yeah. If they call it, what is wrong with you that you are what you are? What is who is you?
What
did
wrong
your parents
with you?
Do yeah. to you? That I mean, God, he's just insufferable.
He's horrible. Everything.
He played that clip where he said, you know, Mike Pompeo is too important to wash a dish or walk a dog.
Oh, yes, my God. Yes. Okay, wait, hold
that
on.
That was so telling. Oh.
Oh, my. Okay, Laffy, you're not going to be able to hear this because I'm playing it through the same console that you're on. But okay. Let me see. Do I have it here? Okay. All right. So it's a 23-second clip. So Laffy, just shush. Everyone else, this is Donald Trump defending Mike Pompeo because he's accused of using State Department staffers to run personal errands for him, from walking his dogs to picking up his dry cleaning to making dinner reservations for he and his wife. And then here's what Trump said when he was asked about it.
Now I have you telling me about dog walking, washing dishes. And you know what? I'd rather have him on the phone with some world leader than have him wash dishes because maybe his wife isn't there.
Because maybe his wife isn't there? I'd rather have him talking on the phone to world leaders than washing dishes because maybe his wife isn't there.
I can hear that. You know how to multitask. You know, we women, we could run the country and wash the dishes at the same time.
Oh, my God. And
well,
you know what?
Maybe
some
we
men,
don't wash the dishes.
Some men wash dishes. David,
yeah.
My husband, when I cook, he cleans. If he cooks, I clean. It's teamwork. We're a team. And so there's no gender role specific who washes dishes, you anachronism piece of shit. Sorry.
Oh,
can't stand him. I just can you tell? I just really can't stand him.
You just have to laugh because it's sickening. It is just literally physically, you know, Laffy, I remember I heard you saying, and I hear this from people, that there's a physical reaction to listening to him and watching him. It makes you literally sick.
Revulsion. It's called revulsion.
Thank you, Laffy.
Wait, I've got to play you one more clip. It's 9 seconds, so don't worry. It's not going to make your head explode. But it just shows what a fucking moron he is. So listen to this. He was talking about he tested. Oh, you saw David walk in the room and flex his muscles, Amy, because you're seeing the camera. Okay. Anyway, so this is Donald Trump talking about he tested negative for the COVID. Here we go.
And I've shown always negative. Right? Negative? Is that the term you use for this, right? Negative.
Oh, God.
See, you gotta laugh. You gotta laugh.
You cry. That's what it means.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that
today he did a 3-second clip. I wish I could play clips.
Right.
Did you see it from Aaron Rupar?
Yeah.
It was basically a poor little me.
Yeah.
He said, "This is Trump in a nutshell," or something, and it was like, you know, everybody's mad.
Everybody
at me.
Hates
I can't remember
me.
What he said.
Yeah,
he's just so beyond. He's completely out of control, completely lost it. Now the problem with that is that our country's going to hell.
Yeah,
so you know, I'm sitting here laughing, and I despise him with every fiber of my being, and I'm watching him try to fire and succeed in firing one
inspector general after another,
which is destroying he's getting rid of all oversight. He's got every facet of government under his thumb now.
Yep.
And he's getting away with it.
It is frightening. But listen to this. There was a story I saw on Friday that I told about a hacker group called Revil. They were demanding $42 million from this show business attorney, a guy named Alan Grubman. His clients include Lady Gaga, Madonna, Mariah Carey, U2, and Bruce Springsteen. They said if they don't get their $42 million, they'll release information about the clients. Then they threatened to reveal, quote, dirty laundry on Donald Trump in just a week if they are not paid in full.
Good.
So they say they got into the law firm's server, stole 756 gigabytes of confidential documents and stuff. They were originally demanding $21 million, and then they doubled their demand to $42 million when Trump got in their crosshairs. Well, there's an update today.
Oh.
Here's the update. The hackers who stole those files about stars, including Lady Gaga, claim to have sold all their dirty laundry on Trump to a secret buyer. And now they're demanding $1 million for details on Madonna. They said they told the New York Post reported that Reville revealed the Trump documents were off the market, stating, quote, interested people contacted us and agreed to buy all the data about the U.S. president. We are pleased with the deal and keep our word. They added, now we're now preparing to auction Madonna data. The buyer has the right to do whatever he sees fit with it. I don't give a shit about Madonna. I want to know who paid up millions of dollars to keep this dirt about Donald Trump from being released.
Trump's people. There may be somebody in Saudi Arabia who's he's trying to cozy up to.
Yep. MBS. Yeah.
So I have some good news that I read today on the NPR site.
Yeah.
That's about radio. That there were
good news about radio?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Wow. That's unusual.
The Schmidt Family Foundation.
The who Family Foundation?
The Schmidt Family Foundation. Okay. And I think he was like the Google or Apple guy.
Oh,
or,
yes. Eric Schmidt from Google. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I tweeted this. I saw this. Yes.
$4.7 million to public radio.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I read that the FCC, this is for you both, the FCC fined Sinclair $48 million because they had a deceptive bid for Tribune stations.
Ooh, well, that was the Tribune deal that fell apart, thankfully. Yeah. Sinclair has been having some problems lately, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, Trump went on a little hissy bit on Twitter yesterday. He was breaking up with Fox and kissing ass to O'Ann without mentioning O'Ann's name. He said, you know, Fox is been really letting me down lately, and I'm going to have to look elsewhere. And I'm thinking, well, what, you going to take your CDs and go home? I mean,
well,
the
reason he got so pissed off at Fox yesterday was because after he made his pronouncement that I take hydroxychloroquine, Neil Cavuto, I guess, was on the air at Fox at the time and came out of the press conference and said,
it'll kill you.
Oh, my God. What an asshole. This will kill you. It will kill you. And so Trump, you know, you're not allowed to say anything going against your leader. And so now he's, you know, he's at war with Fox again.
He's mad. Well, there was also a doctor on Fox that this morning I tweeted it out that that also came out and pretty much said the same thing, only in more professional terms. So he's going to probably be screaming about Fox again, you know. But then he runs back to them, and Fox and like he also like 2 hours before that, Fox and Friends are wonderful, and he's quoting them.
Course.
So
and he's
depends on the
bragging
show.
About their ratings, so that you know they're beating Morning Joke, and you know.
Yeah. MSDNC or whatever you call them. He's such a child. He's such a. That's the other thing about him is that, you know, he's so infantile. He's sub infantile. He's pre infant. He's pre womb. He's so so infant. I don't even know where to go any further than that.
Whoops. Hold on.
He's pre sperm.
but he will tell you.
I'm not a baby.
I'm not a baby.
Do that again.
I'm not a baby.
That was great.
Yeah.
I'm not a baby.
Did you talk at all about Obama and the speeches over the weekend to the press?
No, not really. You know, I did a show yesterday. I did a Monday music show yesterday. I had on an artist named Michael McDermott, somebody who I, you know, who had been on the radio with me 20 years ago in Los Angeles, who's a great singer-songwriter based in Chicago, who's got this wonderful new song that is coming out in June 5th is the release date. And the song is called What in the World? It's the title track from the new album. And it's very, very much an anthem for our times. It's posted on the blog at NicoleSandler.com/5-18-20, yesterday's show. But I'm going to start doing Monday music shows because of that. It was so much fun. We got great reaction to it. And so next week, I can announce now that Dan Navarro will join us. Now, Amy, you probably remember Loan and Navarro, who were just a wonderful duo, the singing, songwriting duo. Actually, they started, it's a funny story, as singing waiters in L.A. a million years ago, and they became songwriting partners. They had a huge hit with We Belong, from Pat Benatar recorded it, and a few others, and Eric Lowen died a few years ago from ALS, but Dan is still kicking around, and he's been doing these sessions from, what does he call them, the Corona Zone, and six nights a week, he's doing a live set on the internet. So he's going to come on with me on Monday, and we'll do another thing. So I'm easing back into a five-day-a-week program. Yes.
Can I ask you something real quick? Because I know we're going to go soon.
Yeah.
You know the comedian you had? What's his name again? Yes.
Noel Castler. Noel Castler.
I was wondering why you couldn't email your friends, you know, Ali Velshi and Lawrence O'Donnell, and ask them why they haven't had him on.
Maybe I will. You know, I don't have Lawrence's direct email. I have his assistant, but I do have Ali's. I may just do that.
But you could also email the assistant and get your name in front of Lawrence again.
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you, Laffy.
I think I will. Good advice, ladies. Mm-hmm. Good advice. So we've run long, as you can probably tell, and that's because we started the show late because I had some technical difficulties. But we are approaching the end of the hour, I think, if my timing is off. And again, I need to turn this around to get it posted in time for it to air on the Progressive Voices Network at 5. Hopefully, sometime in the next few weeks, we will be moving this live show to 5 p.m. Eastern, so I won't have to worry about, about the possibility of. of not getting it uploaded in time. So, you know, hopefully soon we'll go live at 5, if you know what I mean. And hopefully by then I'll have all the technical problems worked out in my studio.
That would be swell. It worked, you know. It was thrilling when everything finally clicked.
You should have seen me over the weekend when I was able to bring in video from this computer and video from that computer, and all the audio worked well. And it was like, yes! And then I come on here and everything's fucked up. So we'll try again tomorrow. Tomorrow, Ellie Mastal is supposed to be joining us.
Oh, yay.
He's just brilliant. First of all, he's so funny, but he's really smart. He writes for The Nation these days. He occasionally shows up on MSNBC, but, you know, they don't know a good thing when they have one. And
I don't know why they haven't had him back. And they used to have him on all the time. Yeah. What happened?
Don't know. Too progressive for them. What's that?
Add that to your list of questions for Lawrence.
Yeah. Right. No, I think it's too progressive for them. I think when somebody makes too much sense, they back off for some reason.
Could be. Yeah. Could very well be.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of just another brilliant edition of the Nicola Pamler Show. We'll get it right one of these days. Amy Simon, find her at sheshistory.com. She's got a wonderful show about the women who came before us, who paved the way for us. And you can find out all about it at sheshistory.com. And, of course, there's Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters with two T's and two F's, because you got
to
laugh.
Who's trying to get Trump to be He's History?
Well, we'll work on that one. We'll work on that.
Thank you. I'm here all night.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ladies. And thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for bearing with us today, with me.
Bye.
Bye. Ha ha.